The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Joe Biden says, don't you worry about a thing. He's got everything under control. Wow. We've got a lot to talk about today. And there are a lot of folks that are, quite frankly, very nervous right now about what's happening with the nation's banking system. As it now stands, we have at least three banks, two of which have already shut down, others not doing well right now. And it's going to be a bit of a rocky road. My recommendation for you is, look, don't panic here. There is no reason to panic. I would say that by and large, most of the people listening to this program do not have more than $250,000 in the bank. So if you have more than $250,000, well, you might want to be a little concerned. But if you don't, you really don't have much to worry about right now. However, there are some residual effects that are impacting a lot of people. I know here in the Memphis area, there was a very popular local liquor store. They used a direct deposit through one of the companies in the Silicon Valley Bank, and as a result, nobody got their paycheck on Friday. A lot of people using Etsy, you're not getting your money, and that's a big problem for a lot of small businesses right now across the country. So my question to you is whether or not we need to be bailing out banks like Silicon Valley Bank, because there are probably going to be a few more that go belly up before all this is said and done. And I appreciate what Bernie Marcus had to say, the one of the co-founders of Home Depot, and he said, hey, look, the problem here with Silicon Valley Bank is these folks went woke. When you look at all of the things this bank was doing, and typically, by and large, they were servicing the tech industry there in California. But man, were they woke. They were invested heavily in climate change initiatives, LGBT stuff, the sex and gender crowd. It was insane over there. As a matter of fact, they actually had a person on staff that was in charge of diversity, equity, and inclusion. By the way, did you know that Silicon Valley Bank actually owned a ski lodge? What the heck? That's insane. Why does a bank need a ski lodge? But they've got one. So anyway, a lot of people very upset, very concerned, and rightfully so. I'm not sure that Joe Biden is doing the right thing here. And I'm not quite sure Joe Biden understands what's really going on. Cut number eight, please.
And finally, we must reduce the risk of this happening again. During the Obama-Biden administration, we put in place tough requirements on banks like Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank, including the Dodd-Frank law to make sure that the crisis we saw in 2008 would not happen again. Unfortunately, the last administration rolled back some of these requirements. I'm going to ask Congress and the banking regulators to strengthen the rules for banks to make it less likely this kind of bank failure would happen again, and to protect American jobs and small businesses. Look, the bottom line is this. Americans can rest assured that our banking system is safe. Your deposits are safe. Let me also assure you, we will not stop at this. We'll do whatever is needed. On top of all this, Let's also take a look at a moment to put the situation in a broader context. We've made strong economic progress in the past 2 years. We've created more than 12 million new jobs, more jobs in 2 years than any president has ever created in a single four-year term. Unemployment is below 4% for 14 straight months. Take-home pay for workers is going up, especially for lower and middle-income workers. And we've seen record numbers of people apply to start new businesses, more than 10 million of them, more than 10 million applications over the last 2 years starting businesses. Now we need to keep the program, this progress, going. That's what swift action that my administration over the past few years is all about. Protecting depositors, protecting the banking system, protecting the economic gains we've made together for the American people. Thank you. God bless you. And may God protect our troops.
All right. So look, anyway, look, here's the deal. They're bailing out this bank. They're not calling it a bailout, but that's exactly what it is. And they say, well, the taxpayer money isn't going to be. No, the taxpayer money is going to be used. Your hard earned money is going to be used to bail out these wackadoodles. And look, pardon me, but if you've got a business and you know that the bank is only insured up to $250,000 of however much money you have in that bank, then that's on you. You need to get your money and you need to diversify. But nobody's doing that these days because they know that the Democrats are going to have their back. They know the Democrats are going to bail them out. And I'm curious to know from you, the great listeners of this program, do you believe we ought to be bailing out these banks that are going belly up? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, the other bank is Signature Bank, and all you need to know is that former Congressman Barney Frank sits on the board of directors of the Signature Bank, and that bank collapsed over the weekend. Also, by the way, First Republic Bank, there was a run on the bank on Saturday, and word is that lines were out the door this morning, people wanting to pull their money out. But again, if you've got under a quarter million, you're okay. Your money's going to be protected. You're going to be able to get your money. By the way, can I just suggest that, and we've had Charles Thorngren on for a number of times, at least once a month, and Legacy Precious Metals, they support this program. Excuse me. And Legacy Precious Metals, one of the things that Thorngren's been telling us, and he's been saying this for a good year now, is that you got to diversify your portfolio. You've got to do it. And that's one of the things that I've done, which is invest in gold and silver. And those of you invested in gold and silver, you're going to be okay. You're going to get through all of this. But if you're not, well, you got problems. And it's going to be a rough go. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Program. Very happy to have you with us today. So, look, to pick up the conversation here, and a lot of our folks weighing in on the social media page right now saying, Todd, all these banks are woke. There's no way we should be bailing them out. Do not bail them out. That's what John says. Lisa says the bankers sold their shares before it all went down. They're all crooked. Oh, they are all crooked, Lisa. By the way, you can weigh in as well, 844-747-8868. Do we bail out these banks? Now, Congressman Thomas Massie has another weird component to all of this. He says that he was on a Zoom meeting with the Fed, with the Treasury, the FDIC, along with members of the House and the Senate, because everybody's wanting to know what the heck is going on here. And Massie says that a Democrat senator asked whether there was a program in place to censor information on social media that could lead to a run on the banks. Again, let me say that again. A Democrat senator asked whether there was a program in place to censor information on social media that could lead to a run on the banks. Now, that's a terrific question, because over the weekend, that was the big concern, is that Twitter might fuel some sort of a run on the banks. And it's interesting, folks, because today you can find very little information about bank run on social media. As a matter of fact, just last week, and this is ahead of what happened with Silicon Valley Bank, Mike Benz, who was a former State Department cyber guy, said that he discovered Homeland Security had already revised its censorship materials. So they've got all this information that they can come after you with. And now they've amended it to include financial misinformation. And they've added the censorship of financial misinformation to their portfolio of critical infrastructure domains. In other words, they can classify your tweets as a cyber attack. This is bizarre stuff. And all of this happened last week. And I don't believe in coincidences, ladies and gentlemen. Don't believe in them at all. So it's very odd because there's just not a lot of information trending right now on social media surrounding the bank controversy. And you would think that that's all people would be talking about today. And that makes me wonder if, in fact, there is some sort of a government effort to censor the information that's out there. Now, again, I don't think there's any reason to panic unless you have more than $250,000 in your bank. And then you probably should take a good look at maybe moving some of that money around. The Gateway Pundit reporting that today trading has been halted at 30 banks just as the market opened. New York Stock Exchange also halted trading at Charles Schwab. Ian Miles Chong wondered, is the bank collapse happening in real time? So again, the trading for over 30 banks has been halted on Wall Street. Now, whether or not this is a collapse or if a collapse is imminent, well, the government is telling us, nope, we don't think so. You've got Congressman Massey out there from Kentucky saying, hey, look, you may not be able to find out that information because it looks like they're cracking down on what's really going on out there. But over the weekend, it was a free-for-all. I mean, people were posting photos, videos of all these people standing in line outside of the banks wanting to get their money, and now we got nothing. It's very odd, is it not, ladies and gentlemen? Very, very odd. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, some news on the on who will and will not be protected. Here's President Biden, cut number 9.
Third, investors in the banks will not be protected. They knowingly took a risk, and when the risk didn't pay off, investors lose their money. That's how capitalism works.
Well, that's well and good, but should the taxpayers lose their money? I mean, that's the issue at hand here. Because all those people that have put into the FDIC, that's where the money's going to be coming from to cover all of these losses at the Silicon Valley Bank. That's where this is all leading. Just unbelievable. So we're going to keep you updated on this. We're going to be speaking to some experts in banking a little bit later on, including Carol Roth, who was all over conservative media this weekend. And she's going to be giving us an idea of what we can expect moving forward. That's coming up a little bit later in the show. Also, Chris Ruddy is going to be here, the CEO of Newsmax, with an update on the censorship of conservative media. And our good friend Congressman Ben Klein out of Virginia is going to be here in the next hour of the program talking about this bank collapse. Maybe he can give us some more intel on what exactly is going down. All right, I got to tell you about this story out of Stanford University. So there was a meeting of the Federalist Society chapter, great conservative group, and they have chapters on just about every major university campus that have law schools. And Stanford Law School happens to have a Federalist Society chapter. And as they often do, they bring special speakers onto campus. One of those was a federal judge, Kyle Duncan. Now, Judge Duncan had been invited to deliver a speech at this event. And when he showed up, it turned out that a mob of fascist students had infiltrated, and they were shouting down everything everything the judge was saying. And it got so bad that the judge asked for somebody to bring in an administrator so they could move the unruly crowd out of the room and he could deliver his speech. So that's exactly what happened. And we've got the video up on our website, toddstearns.com. 9 minutes of this. The audio is not very good, so we're not going to play this on the radio, but you can watch the video and you can see exactly what happened there at Stanford University. So the university's Dean of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, her name is Tyrion Steinbach, showed up. And instead of telling the fascist kids to either shut up and be respectful or get the heck out of the room, what did she do? She turns around and starts scolding Judge Duncan. I mean, just reamed the guy out, completely disrespectful. So the judge said, "This is bonkers," and he left. And the judge, doing an interview with the Washington Free Beacon, said, "Look, if enough of these kids get into the legal profession, the rule of law will descend into barbarism." And he's right. These are all law students, by the way. Every single person there, a law student. He said the inmates are running the asylum over there. And the judge went on to say, "Don't feel sorry for me. I'm a life-tenured federal judge. What outrages me is that these kids, talking about the federal society, these conservative kids are being treated like dog poop by fellow students and administrators." So it got so bad. This thing is bonkers. But the woke crowd really, really ticked off a lot of alumni and donors. So it got so bad, the president of Stanford and the dean of the School of Law issued an apology. And I got to read this to you. "We are very clear with our students that given our commitment to free expression, if there are speakers they disagree with, they are welcome to exercise their right to protest, but not to disrupt the proceedings. Our disruption policy states students are not allowed to prevent the effective carrying out of a public event, whether by heckling or other forms of interruption." Well, that clearly was violated. And again, the video at toddstearns.com, you got to watch this. "Staff members should have enforced university policies, failed to do so, and instead intervened in an appropriate way that are not aligned with the university's commitment to free speech." It seems to me like a pretty sincere apology, and it's a good start. But I say that's not good enough, and we've got to crack down on this crap. And here's what I recommend happening, and this involves donors and alumni. First of all, they need to call and pull all of their funding, and they need to tell the university, "We are pulling our funding until the following things happen." And this is, in my estimation, this is what needs to happen at Stanford University. First of all, Dean Steinbach needs to be fired. This woman has no place in higher education. Doesn't belong anywhere near a classroom. Secondly, the Department of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion needs to be disbanded and dismantled. There's no reason to have something like that on any university campus. No reason at all. And finally, I think any student who disrupted the speech should be censured, suspended, and if necessary, expelled from the Stanford University School of Law. Those people have no business earning a law degree from Stanford. And I think we're going to have to start doing this, folks. We're going to have to lay it out just as plain and as simply as we can. Those who silence free speech must be dealt with swiftly and harshly. We got to do it. Got to. All right, let's go to the break here, folks. We're going to take your phone calls coming up, 844-747-8868. Again, that's a toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Show. Just when you thought it could not get any better, Mike Lindell with MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. when Mike invented MyPillow and had everything you could ever want in a pillow. Now, nearly 20 years later, he discovered a new technology that makes it even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with a brand new fabric that's made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. And for my listeners, an exclusive. The MyPillow 2.0 is buy one, get one free with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow 2.0 temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com/STARNS. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS for the buy one, get one free offer and enter the promo code STARNS. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. So all of you folks out there listening to us on WDUN in North Georgia, which, by the way, happens to be on the beautiful shores of Lake Lanier, you guys are dealing with a mess of a swarm of the cancel culture mobsters. This is from the Associated Press. Federal authorities are considering a plan to rename Georgia's Lake Lanier and Buford Dam. Now, you just can't make this stuff up. So both landmarks are apparently named for Confederate soldiers. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers issued a statement Friday announcing that they're temporarily pausing their plans for a name change because apparently a lot of you WDUN listeners are upset about this. Congressman Andrew Clyde, a Republican who represents much of Northeast Georgia, said that he was among those who oppose the name change. He said the renamings would have attempted to rewrite history, impose massive burdens and cost on our community, and create unnecessary mass confusion. Now, to that point, literally everything has Lanier in the name up there. Lake Lanier is an enormous reservoir spanning almost 58 square miles. It was named for the poet Sidney Lanier. Lanier was a private in the Confederate Army and later wrote The Song of the Chattahoochee, a poem about the river. Buford Dam is named after the nearby town of Buford, which is named after Lieutenant Colonel Algernon Sidney Buford, served in the Virginia militia during the Civil War. The Georgia town is named after Buford because he became president of a railroad that helped create the town after the war. Remember what I said many, many, many moons ago, ladies and gentlemen, that at some point they're finally going to decide that anything named after a white guy is going to have to be renamed? Well, this is all part of that. Hours before announcing the pause in the renaming process, the Times of Gainesville reported that the Mobile District of the Corps of Engineers sent out a news release and unveiled a website seeking input and aiming to pick new names by year's end. Ah, jeezaloo. They've already renamed a lot of the military bases that were named after Confederates. For example, Fort Gordon becoming Fort Eisenhower, Fort Benning is becoming Fort Moore. The Mobile District says it'll continue to solicit public comment about new names for the lake and dam, but said choosing them is up to Congress. Here's my prediction. Lake Al Sharpton. You folks in Gainesville will be able to spend your summers boating around Lake Sharpton. I'm just telling you. Or Farrakhan Dam, so named after Louis Farrakhan. That's how this thing is going to go. I know they've put a temporary hold on it, but it's coming, folks. You better get ready. So you, this is terrible. Clyde Morris, a board member with advocacy groups Lake Lanier Association, told the Times on Friday connections between the Confederacy, Lanier, and Buford are really too remote to justify changing the names, saying each man is better known for something other than their time in the military. Is that true? Now, I've also heard rumors that Lake Lanier, you really don't want to swim in Lake Lanier because you might not come out of the lake. But that may be just, I don't know, an old wives' tale or something. Maybe it's urban legend. But I'm curious to know who was offended. Who got offended because Lake Lanier was named after a private in the Confederacy? Who in their right mind was triggered by that? That's who I want to meet. As a matter of fact, if we can find out who that person is, we will bring them onto the Todd Stearns radio program. I want to be able to talk to that person eyeball to eyeball. So there you have it. And I'm curious to know, you folks in the Georgia area, is this a big deal? Are people really being triggered by the name Lake Lanier? Did you know that Lake Lanier was actually named after a private in the Confederacy? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. You know, they're trying to rename Audubon Park here in Memphis. And Memphis has pretty much been culturally cleansed. We have been through this cleansing of names. Anything named after a white guy has been eradicated in Memphis, except for Audubon Park. And so they're working hard on that. And they want to rename a major thoroughfare after Black Lives Matter. And who knows? It may very well happen. It may very well happen. Did you catch the Oscars last night? You see, we watch this so you don't have to. That's sort of our public service to America. Now, a couple of interesting things. Lady Gaga was there. Apparently, Lady Gaga is very upset because she was being interviewed, and it's not even on the red carpet. They called it the red carpet, but it was beige. And one of the interviewers, one of the male interviewers, I guess patted her backside. But it turned out that she was wearing one of these buttless dresses. In other words, her buttocks, both cheeks were exposed. I don't know if they ran out of fabric or that's the way it was supposed to look. But anyway, the guy grabbed her butt. She did not take that very kindly. Not at all. So anyway, as I'm not surprised by this, but all the shows, that I've never heard of any of the shows that won. Elvis got screwed. I thought they were up for 8 nominations, and they didn't win anything. I thought it was one of the better films. But anyway, there was this one guy, though, and the whole thing really sucked. It was just boring. I kept nodding off. But there was one speech that was worth it. And the guy delivering the speech won the Oscar. His name is Ki Wei Kwan, and was in Indiana Jones and also in The Goonies. I didn't realize this guy's been around for a long time now. And he won this award. And I got to tell you, this was probably one of the best speeches I've heard delivered at the Oscars in decades. Cut number 3.
My mom is 84 years old, and she's at home watching. Mom, I just want an Oscar. My journey started on a boat. I spent a year in a refugee camp. And somehow, I ended up here on Hollywood's biggest stage. They say stories like this only happen in the movies. I cannot believe it's happening to me. This is the American dream. Thank you so much. Thank you so much to the Academy for this honor of a lifetime. Thank you to my mom for the sacrifices she made to get me here. To my little brother, David, who calls me every day just to remind me to take good care of myself. I love you, brother. Thank you to Kendall for all your support and everything you've done. Thank you to A24, to Daniels, Jonathan, Jamie, Michelle, and my Goonies brother for life, Jeff Cohen. I owe everything to the love of my life, my wife, Echo, who... who, month after month, year after year for 20 years, told me that one day, my time will come. Dreams are something you have to believe in. I almost gave up on mine. To all of you out there, please keep your dreams alive. Thank you so much for welcoming me back. I love you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, there you go. That was inspirational, right? I mean, the kid, well, he's not a kid. By the way, 51 years old. He doesn't look 51. But the message there, and if we had a few more speeches like this, I think the Oscars would be somewhat tolerable. But what a great story. This guy, living the American dream, came here to this country, learned the language, was in Goonies, was it Encino Man? Was he in? I think he was in Encino Man too, because they had a couple of other stars of Encino Man that were up for nominations. But this young man, he thanked his mom, thanked his wife, and then he turns around and he says, "This is America." And it was nice to see somebody in Hollywood actually acknowledging that America is a great place, a land where your dreams can come true. And it was very interesting and ironic that the person who delivered that message came to this country legally as an immigrant. How about that, America? All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. Again, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, the e-commerce site Etsy is warning sellers to expect some delays on payments because of Silicon Valley Bank. Just want to pass along that information to you. Let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Susan in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN, wants to weigh in on that name change. What you got, Susan?
Hi, Todd. Love your show. I listen all the time. Never call in, but I couldn't help myself today. Listen,
thank you.
My husband grew up on Lake Lanier, learned how to fish, learned how to swim, all that. We live in Cleveland, Georgia now, but I would love to know who was going to be so relieved if they changed the name. I just think it's ridiculous. Not to mention what it's going to do to all the businesses who have the name Lanier in their business name because their businesses are in and around the area. I just think it's crazy. And like I said, there must be people that have nothing else to do but sit there and decide, well, what are we going to change today? They need to leave Lake Lanier alone.
Susan, you know what's happening. These woke activists are literally, every time there's a name, they're Googling it to see if there's any connection to the Confederacy so they can be triggered.
Yep, that's what it is.
Unbelievable.
They're trigger happy.
I love it. Yes, they are, Susan. Hey, appreciate the call, Susan. Great. Give us a call back one of these days. Let's go to Donovan in Georgia, also listening to us on WDUN. All right, Donovan, what's your take on this?
Hey, buddy, I just thought, you know, sometimes, you know, you seem to have the greatest things going on all the time. And I just had to call up about Lake Lanier. I've lived around Lake Lanier for years. Basically, Lanier is a great place to live. People who do not live around Lake Lanier should not even think about changing a name. If they live around here, maybe we should go and to the counselor and find out if on a boat if we want to change the name. You're right about swimming. Sometimes there have been alligators in there.
Wait, but, what? Wait. I didn't know about the alligators. What?
Yeah, there's been a few found. There's also a tradition about we still had Lanier Racetrack underneath the big bridge where they left it there. Basically, the whole setup, just like, you know, a major boat or something that's been sunk, they just left it there as a tradition. So you got the whole track down there in the Lanier. Lanier's got a lot of history.
So this is like, and it's a man-made lake, right? I think right after World War II. Is that right, Donovan, around that time?
Yes, sir. And also, you know, Lake Hartwell's fantastic as well. It's also man-made. I also want to make a comment, if I could, about Dr. Martin Luther King Boulevard.
Yes, MLK Boulevard.
Yeah, now, if we think back, every time a child looks up and says, Mommy, who's that? Who is Dr. Martin Luther King? I mean, he was a great man. He did a lot of great things for this country. But if we want to keep talking about the Civil War and all that, it's going to bring up a lot of problems. And perhaps we should remove all of his signs or anybody else that could cause problems. Just don't start on the South and all everything that they have done. Those people died for this country. And, you know, people live from history. And if we give up history, you know, we're just giving up our life, basically.
What you do, Donovan, when you whitewash history like that, you're going to repeat the sins of the past. And that is a grave concern. And I think it does a disservice to the memory of MLK. Because what they're really saying is MLK really meant nothing because this country is worse off. They believe this country is worse off now than it was during the Civil War time. That's what they want you to believe.
And that's crazy. That really is, sir.
It is.
I don't want to take all your time up. I wanted to point those things out. I wanted your comments on it. I want you to do some research on Lanier because we don't need to change it. I mean, it's a large one. You've seen it, obviously, because you've been down here.
It's a beautiful lake, but with alligators, there's no way I'm getting in that lake. But I'll get on a boat.
some other guys might also have comments on that right, as well. Because they have been found there. It's so large, though, you know. It's a beautiful lake. That's about all I want to say.
All right, Donovan. Appreciate the call. Thank you for listening. Wow. Oh, by the way, Lake Hartwell, just so nobody gets triggered, named after Nancy Hart. She was a Revolutionary War figure. So I'm sure someone will end up filing a complaint about that one. But, yeah, again, folks, this is a head-scratcher. Lake Lanier coming under attack from the cancel culture mob. And they're literally going around city to city, town to town, and they're trying to figure out, okay, was this street named after somebody? Is there a Civil War connection? And it could be, is there a Revolutionary War connection? Because they're canceling Thomas Jefferson and George Washington. But back to this Lake Lanier thing. So the rumor is, somebody will be able to help us figure this out. But I don't know if this is urban legend or what, but when they flooded the land, there were a lot of burial grounds that got flooded too. So some people think the lake may be haunted. And this is fascinating. Between 1999 and 2018, 145 people have drowned in that lake. And people are saying it could be, you know, it could be haunted. I don't know. From 2015 until 2018, Lake Lanier saw 43 lake-related deaths. And by the way, that's not including the boat accidents, like 128 boat accidents. So there's a lot of freaky stuff going. Otherwise, a beautiful lake, though. Very beautiful homes and everything in front, waterfront property. If you haven't been to Lake Lanier, you ought to go and check it out. Beautiful, beautiful place. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868 is our toll free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. And we will fight alongside you folks in Georgia. We're not going to let them change the name of your lake or your dam for that matter. All right, stick around, folks. Hour two coming up. Chris Ruddy, Ben Klein, Carol Roth, your calls. It's going to be a great day. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 2 of the Big Show. Very honored to have you with us today. Wow, a lot going on. And folks, all I can tell you when it comes to the banks, I don't believe we ought to be bailing these people out. If they're stupid enough to almost 90%, by the way, almost 90% of Silicon Valley's accounts were not insured through the FDIC. So in my estimation, they get what they asked for. You may disagree with that, and I would certainly like to hear from you one way or the other. Do you think that we ought to be bailing out these banks? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I want to go to Maine. Webb is listening to us on WLOB. Webb, what do you think we ought to be doing here?
Well, hi, Todd. I think this is the beginning of a real problem. And I think that what we're dealing with, the banks, there's something I wanted to ask you, is that there used to be a policy. There was a collapse in California of a bank, and they took the people who put money in, they took their money to support the bank. And there's a lot of banks that have that hidden in their policies. I'm wondering if that was canceled or it's still there. Then the other idea that I wanted to ask you was that the federal insurance, this government's broke. How are they going to pay people back their money?
Well, they're not going to call it a bailout, Webb, but that's exactly what it is, and they're going to be using our money to do it.
Yeah, but what about the people who have bank accounts and could have their money just taken by the bank?
It's not. Webb, it is. Yeah, it's not right, and they cannot do that. But I'm telling you right now, at every Silicon Valley Bank branch, and there are photos starting to pop up now, videos starting to pop up. There are long lines of people waiting to get their money. I don't know if they're going to be able to get that money, even if they're under the $250,000 mark. I'm not sure they're going to be able to get their money back today. Biden says they're going to, but I'm not too sure about that. I'm not too sure about it. Webb, appreciate. Yeah, go ahead.
It depends on the particular bank's policy. You've got to read into their policies, because I know there was a scandal back then when that bank went down that people didn't know that was written into their bank policy, that they could take customer money if the bank needed it.
Webb, we'll look into it. I don't know the finer. I don't have their in-depth policies in front of me, so I can't answer that question. I wish I could, but I appreciate the call. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. By the way, it turns out two of the executives here at Silicon Bank were a part of Lehman Brothers when they went down, and then Deutsche Bank. So I'm telling you, folks, you're getting what you ask for with these people. That's all there is to it. All right, we have got a lot going on in the culture war across America. A couple of stories to share with you. One of them involves a school director in Staten Island, New York. Now, Staten Island, New York is a relatively conservative part of New York City. A lot of police, a lot of fire department folks, they all live in that area. So the superintendent in Staten Island is under fire. She is black. Her name is Marion Wilson. This is from the Daily Mail. She has been accused of sending anti-white text messages to staff members, vowing to give white principals the heave-ho as she pushes for a more diverse staff in the district. Now, I just want to say at the outset here, I appreciate Dr. Wilson being very forthright about this, because I think we've suspected this kind of stuff has been going on, but nobody really wants to go on the record. So I appreciate the fact that she is owning this truth, that as the person in charge, she is going to discriminate against white people. I appreciate her acknowledging that. Screenshots of the text show Mrs. Wilson promising to, quote, clean up this island, quote, no more white principals on my watch. Copies of the messages were sent in emails to Chancellor David Banks and the Department of Education, as well as city officials from the encrypted email. I'm not going to read the email address. But man, is she in hot water. Multiple investigations involving the salacious text exchange have been launched, but the Department of Education calls them unsubstantiated. Others are saying they're fake. One of the texts that was sent under Wilson's name and obtained by the outlet said, again, no more white principals on my watch. Quote, white folks need to recognize this is not the boys' club anymore. A strong black woman runs this B-word now, and that I can either get on board or get out. If they don't get out, I'm going to take them out one by one. They're not going to know what hit them. Going to be fun. A third text said, Chris's white ass is G-O-N-E. It's happening. That text was referencing Christopher Anzalone. Jeez, hello. It's a rough day for white folks there in Staten Island. So anyway, the school district is in an uproar, a tizzy, if you will, over these text messages. But again, you got to appreciate the lady. I mean, at least she came in there, and maybe she has an agenda. Maybe she has a clear mandate to get whitey. I don't know. It's insane. What? Oh my goodness. Now, this is another culture issue, and I don't know. I know this may not. I know we're on the verge of a bank collapse and economic calamity, but this really bothered me. So Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, which happen to be my favorite snack of all time. I love Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Reese's has just announced they're going vegan. They're going to be offering a plant-based version of the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. Now, I personally believe this is a heresy, and it is of the devil. I can't point to a specific Bible verse, but I believe we are dealing with Satan here. So, as bad as that story is, this one is even worse. From the pages of USA Today, it turns out that Hidden Valley Ranch, the salad dressing people, are about to launch a new brand of ice cream, Hidden Valley Ranch flavored ice cream. The product is going to be sold at select Walmart stores nationwide. Limited edition pints that promise to deliver the savory flavors of ranch, including buttermilk, flavorful herbs, and a touch of sweetness. Blah. Ben Van Leeuwen, who is the co-founder of an ice cream company in Brooklyn, New York, is responsible for creating this new brand. He says, quote, we're so excited to debut this new series of flavors and unveil what is possibly our most surprising ice cream yet. Again, they're going to be selling it at Walmart. Quote, we know that Hidden Valley Ranch goes with just about everything, pizza, carrots, French fries. I like it on the nuggets, by the way. But ice cream is a first for us. They're also inviting people to top their scoops of Hidden Valley Ranch flavored ice cream with crushed pretzels or potato chips for a perfect salty crunch. And by the way, the ice cream goes on sale from March 20th to May 28th. Who in their right mind is going to eat this stuff? You know, years ago when I was at Fox News, we actually had an intern, and we sent the intern out. Where was he from? Penn State. And we actually sent him out on the streets of New York. French's, the mustard people, were actually giving out free mustard ice cream. And so we made him eat that ice cream on the air. It was horribly disgusting. Good intern, though. So anyway, I just can't imagine Hidden Valley Ranch ice cream going over very well, but who knows? I don't know, maybe you could dip your plant-based Reese's Peanut Butter Cup into the Hidden Valley Ranch. It would kind of be like, you know, I don't know, carrots into the dip. Would you really eat something like this, America? At a Walmart? 844-747-8868. Toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Got a question for you. At what age are you going to retire? Have you already plotted this out? Have you decided, all right, I'm going to retire at this specific age? Now, the average age, so if you're going to get Social Security benefits, you're eligible for full benefits, at 62. You can delay that, as you can up to age 70, I think, and of course your benefit amount will increase. But a lot of people are debating whether or not they're actually going to retire at the age of 62. Now, keep in mind that back when that age was set, most people were not, what the life expectancy was not that far past the age of 62 for most folks. So anyway, Senator John Kennedy, the Republican from Louisiana, was asked about this. Cut number 7.
I mean, the life expectancy of the average American right now is about 77 years old. For people who are in their 20s, their life expectancy will probably be 85 to 90. Does it really make sense to allow someone who's in their 20s today to retire at 62? Those are the kind of things that we should talk about.
It's a fair question, because Social Security was not created for the average person to live until their 80s or their 90s. So my question is, do you have an issue with raising the age, the retirement age, to say 65 or 70? 844-747-8868. They're debating this issue on Capitol Hill. Again, that number is 844-747-8868. I'm curious here. I'm not one of these people that is actually going to retire. I think I'm just going to work till I can't work anymore. That's just the way I'm built. And I know a lot of guys that actually are sort of in the same boat. You know, they enjoy working, and they really don't see the need to retire. Nobody wants to sit at home and watch TV all day, or you can only play golf so much, I suppose, right? So as long as you're able to be a productive member of society, why not do that? Why not get out there and work until you can no longer work? So I'm curious to hear from you. Are you okay with keeping the minimum age for Social Security at 62, or do we need to raise it? Because there's no way you are earning enough money over your life. There's no way you're putting enough money into your Social Security account that's going to last you that long at all. I know the liberals are going bonkers over this, and they're enraged over this. But the reality is, most of us are going to keep working. Most of us are not ready for Social Security at the age of 62. And that brings me to what's happening over in Arkansas, where Sarah Huckabee Sanders is under fire because she signed a law that would make it easier for kids to get a job. Now, the left is saying, oh, this is offensive. This is all about making 12-year-olds go work at the sweatshop. No, this is not. The new law signed by Sarah Sanders applies to those who are 14, 15 years old. And in most Arkansas businesses, you cannot work if you are under the age of 14. So why not allow kids to get out there? If they want a job, they can go out there and get a job. Between you and me, when I was 12 years old, 11, 12 years old, I was either mowing grass or doing something. I was doing something to understand the value of a dollar, to understand, hey, you know, this is money that you have. You get a savings account, and your parents start teaching you how to manage your money. But unfortunately, a lot of kids are going all the way through college before they even get a job nowadays. It's unbelievable. The governor's office says that that protecting kids is important, but the permit was an arbitrary burden on parents to get permission from the government for their child to get a job. So I say good for you, Governor Sanders. Ladies and gentlemen, I am one of those people that believes a part-time job as a child is an important thing, and kids need to start learning responsibility at a young age. 844-747-8868. Let's go to the phones. OG in North Carolina. OG, what's on your mind?
Well, you're exactly right. The earlier you start working, the more you enjoy. And the old story, you know, if you enjoy what you're doing, you never work a day in your life. At 7 years old, I started working on charter fishing boats offshore New Jersey, and wound up with a 10-year stint in New York City, and then wound up working as a postmaster. And then next month, I am going to be 20 years as a volunteer with the Coast Guard Auxiliary as a coxswain and division commander.
Is that right? And how old are you, OG?
I'm 84 now, going to be 85 June 29th.
See, look at there.
And I'm having a ball. I'm just having such a good time with it. I never wanted to be bored, so you know what? Hey, I got my wish.
You see, I love this story, and I suspect I'm going to be the same way with the radio station. You know, I love radio. I suspect even if I'm not doing the show when I'm 80 or 85 years old, I'm still going to wander into the office and you know, do a little bit of this, do a little bit of that, because this is what I love to do. And OG, I think there's a lot of truth in what you said, that if you're doing what you love, it's really not a job.
One other thing, are you training and mentoring replacements?
Well, yeah, absolutely.
That's what doesn't happen all too often in this world.
It's true.
It's always about me. It's always about me and I and the Benjamins and the Bucks, and you know, and you don't stop and think about, you know, what kind of, you know, what's going to be your legacy.
It's
who's
true.
Who's going to stand in front of a casket or cremains and say, well, you know what? He was a pain in the neck, but you know what? He did some pretty good stuff. You know, it's been an adventure, and I would not change him. Well, yes, I would change a minute or two.
OG, good for you. Yeah, we do a training session. I try to teach the staff, repeat after me, Jeez-a-loo, Jeez-a-loo. So again, try to get the phrases in the vernacular. OG, God bless you, sir. Thank you. Great American patriot right there. 84 years old, volunteering for the Coast Guard. That's what it's all about. 844-747-8868. Strong work ethic. That's what makes America the most exceptional nation on the planet. Write it down. All right, we'll be right back, America. Folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program, broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. Want to go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Good to have with us Congressman Ben Klein from the Commonwealth of Virginia. Congressman, hope you're doing well today.
Todd, I'm doing well anytime I'm out of the swamp and back home in the beautiful 6th District of Virginia.
Oh, it's a beautiful area. Congressman, real quick, before so many things we want to touch on with you, but of course, this crazy story involving the banks, President Biden coming out. Did he reassure the nation in your estimation?
No, Biden definitely does not reassure the nation. Every day, I think the nation grows more concerned about the capabilities of Joe Biden. But what we do know is that the laws that are in place are enough to secure our institutions and make sure that that people's deposits will be protected. Now, do we have to change the system or get government more involved bailing out bad decisions? No, we don't, and we shouldn't be pushing bailouts. And those who made the bad decisions in California with the Silicon Valley Bank or in New York with the bank that just failed, they both have bad decisions on their directors' heads, and those people need to be held accountable.
Congressman Thomas Massie tweeted out a little while ago that there was some sort of a Zoom call or something, and with lawmakers, the FDIC, and a Democrat senator actually asked whether or not there was some way to censor news and information on Twitter because there were fears that Twitter might spark some sort of a run on the banks. Were you a part of those conversations? You hear anything like that?
I did. I heard those comments made, and immediately they got pushback from Republican House members who were outraged by even the suggestion that we somehow censor online comments. It's ridiculous, and we will continue to push against the censorship of the right as they have been trying to do on the left for so long.
Is there reason for people to be concerned? Because there are a lot of nervous folks out there, and they just kind of want to know, what do they do?
You know what? The institutions that we have are strong. The banking institutions that we have are strong. Mainstream banks, your local banks, those are good institutions with good controls in place to make sure that they are properly invested. What you had in these other two banks were banks that were too invested, whether they were invested in federal bonds. And when you had this aggressive spending by the Biden administration, not to get political, but it was this excessive spending on the part of the Biden administration that drove inflation so to these record levels that pretty much crashed the bond markets and have the rates go down so low that the returns were poor. And so when all of us, and you had banks that were hiding those returns. So once it came to light that these banks were so heavily invested in bonds and so in hiding such losses, that there was a run and on just those banks. But you don't have that scenario across the board, across the country, through most community banks. And people can rest assured that the banking laws that are in place are strong enough to protect them and their deposits. And so moving forward, hopefully we will see, in absence of this government intervention, calm restored and the markets recover.
Now, Congressman, while there was a run on a good many banks over the weekend, there was also a run on the border. And we've got this unbelievable video at toddstearns.com. And it showed the reporting was about 1,000, possibly more, migrants trying to storm the border. I know that you've been weighing in on this, sharing that video on Twitter. I mean, this is really stunning what's going on down there.
It is. It just shows you that the cartels are trying some new tactics. You know, when we were down there, I was down there for my third trip last couple of weeks. And with Jim Jordan and the Judiciary Committee, we went to the border. We saw the cartels with buses of migrants waiting on the other side of the river, but they weren't crossing because we were there. Border Patrol was there. They were waiting on us. As soon as we left, then they started crossing again. So now they're trying to push thousands at once at Border Patrol to try and overwhelm them. Well, they're already overwhelmed. So you have Border Patrol underfunded, undermanned, under-resourced, essentially babysitting when these migrants are coming across in waves. And the cartels have been sending them across in one section of the border so that the Border Patrol leaves unattended another section, and then they run drugs, and then they run sex trafficking across the unmanned sections of the border. So what you have here are cartels in control, Biden administration not in control. And just because we were able to push back on this surge doesn't mean that the Biden administration has lost control of the border, and we really need to get a wake-up call delivered to Joe Biden that our border is unsecure, not secure, and needs securing first thing.
I don't think he cares. I don't think Mayorkas cares. This is all part of their strategy. They want those people coming across the border. And what concerns me is, I mean, this could have been a war zone down there this weekend with that many people trying to rush the gates.
Well, and you have folks on my side of the aisle, I'm one of them, supporting the use of our military to engage and actually push back, because we need to coordinate with the Mexican government, obviously. But the Mexican government has all but given up control to the cartels at the border. And it's getting to the point where you have Americans, endangered Americans, losing their lives, who go into Mexico and are getting killed by cartels. And it's got to stop. And so we need to use the resources that we have to make sure we keep Americans safe.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line from Virginia's 6th Congressional District, our good friend Congressman Ben Klein. Congressman, of course, they got the Biden budget to deal with, and I know a lot of you folks are wanting to force a vote to put every Democrat on the record when it comes to this. What say you?
Sure. You know, we've been playing in Nancy Pelosi's house for the past 4 years, and she hasn't hesitated to put us on the board on any and everything that are just political votes left and right. This is not a political vote. This is a real budget that the president has put forward. It doesn't balance ever. It just keeps continuing this deficit spending, growing the debt by an additional $7 trillion over the next decade. And it's increasing taxes on businesses, on energy companies, going to raise the cost of energy for Americans, and just small businesses that are going to pass through their tax increases to the American people. So it's fueling inflation and just continuing the bad economic policies that this administration has had for so long. So we're going to have hearings in the Budget Committee, and I know my colleagues are salivating to chomp into this budget and find out just how bad it really is going to affect Americans. And then we're going to put out our own budget in the Republican Study Committee. We're working to put out a balanced budget. It's going to balance in 10 years. Not going to touch Social Security or Medicare for benefits for current recipients. It's going to make sure we reform the system so that we help American taxpayers and make sure that we don't spend any more of their hard-earned tax dollars on woke and wasteful government.
All right. Well, Congressman, I appreciate your time this afternoon, and thanks for the update on the banking situation. A lot of people just nervous, really concerned. But again, we've been telling them that, you know, and again, most of us do not have $250,000 in the bank, so we should be good, and those savings should be protected. God forbid something bad happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll just keep praying that cooler heads prevail and that we don't allow the Biden administration to continue to push these government bailouts of bad decisions, because bad decisions forgiven just encourage more bad decisions.
That's it. That's it. All right, Congressman, thank you.
Thanks, Todd.
Congressman Ben Klein, everybody. All right, we got to take a quick break. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. Folks, everybody's talking about one place for news these days. It's Newsmax. I love it. Watch it all the time. You can see me on Newsmax every Thursday, by the way. You need to watch Newsmax. The liberals, they hate Newsmax, and for good reason. It's becoming one of the most popular channels in America. Every night, you can watch Greta, Rob Schmidt, Eric Bolling, Greg Kelly. No surprise, Newsmax is already the fourth highest rated cable news channel and growing fast. You can get Newsmax on most cable systems. All you need to do is check your channel guide, and if they don't carry Newsmax, switch to one that does. Remember, Newsmax is also free on streaming. You can go to Samsung Plus, Roku, Zumo, Pluto, so many others, Apple TV. You can even download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone and start watching now. Millions are making the switch to Newsmax. I made the switch, and you can too, because Newsmax is real news for real people. Mark Levin coming after all you folks that are taking issue with Fox News and the fact that they've been all over the place. It's, I don't know who to believe or what to believe anymore. And I don't know if Tucker and all those folks actually believe what they tell you every night. Clearly, a lot of the emails that have been coming out lately seem to suggest they do not. Tucker's one of Tucker's former producers calls all you people dumb, you people that watch Fox News. And now this item from Mediaite, where Tucker Carlson was doing a podcast. So it's called the Full Send Podcast. You can listen to it for yourself. Tucker is calling former President Trump a little bit autistic. Wow. I just don't know what to believe with these folks anymore. I really don't. And Tucker was using the term in defense of the president. He says, I will say in Trump's defense, and maybe because he's a little bit autistic, that he saw the stakes of this, talking about the war in Ukraine and China and Russia getting together. So I just don't know. I just don't know what to tell you. It's all terribly disconcerting and very frustrating. But there you go. I mean, calling President Trump autistic? I don't. Bad form, my friend. Bad form. All right, let's go to the phones here. Jan in Georgia, WDUN, wants to talk about work ethic. Hi, Jan. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to say that I was raised by parents that taught me a good work ethic. My father owned several restaurants in Alabama, and my two brothers and I started working behind the scenes, probably, you might call it child labor, but we were learning to cook and clean and things like that. And he worked us harder than his own other employees because he didn't want us to have a free ride. And because of that, all three of us have, you know, law-abiding citizens, we have good jobs, and I retired from teaching, and I couldn't sit at home. I'm 66, and I'm drawing Social Security, and I said, I still need to work. So I took a job at a university here in town and worked, and I'm still working. And I think that it all begins at a young age where children see their parents working for what they have, not overspending, living within their means, and then going out and getting a job. And I don't see that now with these millennials. They seem to be a little privileged, I guess is what I should say.
I would say a lot privileged, Jan.
A lot privileged.
You know, when we lived in a small community when we moved from Memphis, and it was a farming community. And you want to talk about hard workers, those boys and girls, classmates who lived out on the farm and had to get up before the crack of dawn to, you know, get the eggs and feed the chickens and do all that kind of stuff. That's hard work.
Oh, yes, it is. And I think it everybody has to pitch in on a farm. And like my dad's restaurant, like I said, he owned it. And if he didn't go into work, you know, every day, then it would fall apart. And he taught us that to be accountable and to be on time and to serve the public. And it did us all well. And I don't see that happening now with some of this generation.
Jan, what kind of food did you guys serve up?
We were like a Denny's. It was an all-night restaurant. It was called Pit Grill. I don't know if it's still in business, but he had several in Tennessee and Alabama, and he had to travel quite a bit with those. But it was 24 hours, and I worked the 6-to-2 shift. And even if I had stayed out all night, of course, I was in college, too, I had to get up and get into work at 6 o'clock and
Wow.
fill my shift.
That's so it. That's it.
I'm really thankful to them and for what they taught us. And I taught it to my children, and I do hope they're teaching it to my grandchildren.
Well said. Well, Jan, appreciate you calling in, and thank you for listening, and enjoy that office work right now.
Oh, I love it. It's a sitting down job instead of chasing kindergartners, so I enjoy it.
I bet you do. All right. Thanks a lot, Jan.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Let's go to JC. A lot of Georgia callers today. Hey, JC, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I wanted to call in about the work, and something was said there about it extending the work age for retirement. And I worked till I was 60. I was able to get out, what we say, early, before I started drawing Social Security and things. But in order to extend that work age, you have to consider the type of work that people do. There's a big difference in someone that goes in and sits behind a desk all day long for 40 years versus someone who is doing hard physical work for 40 years. And you can't say what's good for one is good for the other. In my profession, I retired as an electrician meter man. I worked at the local pulp mill here, and it was nothing to climb 200, 300 steps a day where I worked. That was every day, toting a 25-pound bag, tool bag with me. And I worked in temperatures where it was 110 degrees with 100% humidity, and I've worked where it was 32 degrees with a 25-mile-an-hour wind blowing.
Woo!
And it's tough. You know, we're not sitting in an office where it's controlled with a thermostat, and you can't compare the two. So you can't say that everybody needs to work to age 70. You can't do that. It's physically trying on you. There's some people that's in good shape. I'm in good shape. I've retired, and I stay just as busy as I did when I worked. I have things around here. We got a pecan orchard. I got about 9 acres to take care of. I preach at a little church, so I'm busy. So I just traded one job for another. But for most of the people that's doing this hard physical work, you can't expect them to maintain that same level at age 70 as they were doing when they were 30 and 40 years old.
Well, that's a good argument, JC, and I understand what you're talking about, and I'm glad that you found work doing the pecans. And you, 9 acres, that's a lot of pecans.
Oh, we just part of it, just only about 2 acres that's actually pecan trees.
Okay, so gotcha.
I got a little garden spot over here that I just planted my garden, and the rest of it is yard we keep up with and just various different things.
Well, there you go. JC, I hate to do this, but they're going to make me take a break here. Don't want to, but we got to. But God bless you, JC, and you be safe out there. And sounds like you're doing pretty good for yourself. Folks, we do have to take a break. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it is. And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Stearns radio program. Wow. Folks, we're very excited. We're going to be adding a couple of new affiliates in the coming days. And we're... Basically, Tennessee will become our second state where we have border-to-border coverage, adding a couple of stations in the Jackson, Tennessee area. Nevada, I think you guys are number one. We've got a lot of stations, a lot of affiliates in Nevada. So we'll be telling you more about that in the coming days. But we just love all of our great listeners. We're a grassroots effort here, and we certainly appreciate you calling and reaching out to radio stations. Of course, Grace Baker heading up our great affiliate team here at the program. Go ahead and write down our telephone number. You're going to need this if you want to call in today, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. It's a great honor to welcome the Chief Executive Officer of Newsmax, Chris Ruddy. Chris, hope you're doing good today.
I'm great, Todd. Always great to be on you. Now that I know your show is the blowtorch across America, I'll be on more often.
Absolutely. You will have an open invitation, Chris. Open invitation.
Well, you have been an amazing phenomenon in talk radio and online, and we really appreciate you being out there. After Rush Limbaugh, there's not a lot out there, so you have been, and your audience really should know they appreciate what they've got in Todd Stearns.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, and we had a lot of fun hanging out with your team at CPAC, and it was exciting to see, and it must be exciting for you just to see the massive growth and the fans coming over and meeting Newsmax host and on-air talent. It was really something to watch at CPAC.
We had a huge, phenomenal turnout at CPAC. You know, Fox did not show up at CPAC this year. I don't know why. I think everybody knows you used to be at Fox. The Fox News is changing, and it's not what it was 10 years ago or 20 years ago. And I think Newsmax is rising because of it. A lot of people are tuning in. They're checking us out on their local cable system or on most major cable systems right now or on all the streaming platforms like Samsung and Roku and Zumo and Pluto and all of those. So people are tuning in. They're voting with their channel guides, and we're getting We're now the fourth highest rated cable news channel in the United States. We've had 8 million people download the Newsmax app on their iPhone or Android. It just takes a couple of minutes and seconds, actually, and it's free. They can watch us anywhere in the world. So it's an amazing growth that we've had. And I think it's just people are tired of both the old media and they'd like something different than Fox News.
No, I think you're right. And again, the excellence of it all, and that is just, it's so well done. The graphics packages, you know, the imaging, and it all adds up to a really fun on-air experience. And I think people really connect with that. And of course, the website, it's the go-to place. I know when we're doing show prep, you know, it used to be Fox, but now you guys are really taking charge and ownership of even the digital space now.
Well, we are Newsmax.com. You know, we were originally one of the leading top sites since the 90s. I think we were the first to actually talk and suggest the idea that Donald Trump should run for president back in the day before we had a TV channel. Newsmax Magazine, which, by the way, is incredible publications monthly, and it has people like Bill O'Reilly and Ben Stein and Dr. Lore and many others. And it comes, we have a new book out called Final Battle, the next election may be the last, by David Horowitz. And if people want to get the book free with Newsmax magazine, they can call 800-NEWSMAX, and they'll love the magazine if they can't get it online or in cable. So we're actually reaching people on television, on digital, and in print.
So my uncle, who was a diehard day one Newsmax subscriber years ago, said, you know, I see you on Fox all the time. How come you're not on Newsmax? And I'm like, Uncle Jerry, I work for Fox. So now he's very happy that I'm on with Salcedo every Thursday. So
he must be the best uncle any God ever created, Todd, because he likes Newsmax and he realizes he has good taste in news.
Exactly.
And look, I think millions of Americans now, we according to Nielsen, we're reaching, with our OTT stream, we're reaching about 40 million Americans fairly regularly. That's a huge number. And, you know, we did that in a very short time. And it's not because Chris Ruddy is any genius or some of our hosts. It's because the public wants something different. They're tired of the mainstream news. And we have great hosts. We have Greta Van Susteren at 6 o'clock Eastern time leading the nightly news coverage. We have Rob Schmidt, who's a fantastic young guy who's really telling it like it is. He's from Indiana. Then we have Eric Bolling. You remember him from the Fox News days. We have Greg Kelly. Jen Pellegrino used to be at the Trump White House as a reporter. We have a really good team of people. And I think when people tune in, they really like Newsmax, and we're keeping people.
And in spite of, I mean, you've got this incredible growth, and then along comes DirecTV, AT&T, deplatforming you guys. First of all, it's got to feel great to see so many people rising up across the nation, big names, defending you guys and calling out DirecTV and AT&T. But at the end of the day, we've got to stop this censorship. We've got to get Newsmax back on their platform.
Well, we don't have any news to report yet, but they have said publicly they want to bring Newsmax back on. We think we're close to getting back on. They've expressed a real interest in having us. So it's thanks to people like you and millions of Americans that let their voice be heard if that happens. But we're going to keep you up to date in the coming days and weeks on that. We just went off at the very end of January, so it's not that unusual to go off, but we you know, made our voice be known in a very big way, and we're hoping that we're back on soon.
You know, we talk about the censorship. Just had Congressman Ben Klein on from Virginia in the last hour, and he was telling us they had a big Zoom meeting between the FDIC, Treasury Secretary, or Treasury Department, and lots of members of Congress. And in that conversation, a Democrat senator actually asked if there were ways to censor the news and information coming out on social media to stop a run on the banks. I mean, the idea that you have elected leaders up on Capitol Hill that are advocating for censorship, Chris.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we've had this thing that's going on. There's this group called GDI that was, and they find out it's leftist that backs it. And then there's another group here in the U.S. called NewsGuard. Now, they claim they're looking for misinformation, but we look it up. The head of the founder of NewsGuard, Stephen Brill, is a longtime Democratic donor. He backed Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, Chuck Schumer, hates Donald Trump, has made very critical comments. So he's not really a journalist, and yet he's masquerading as the media monitoring organization. And they're actually using this to close down many conservative channels and news websites from getting advertising fees and revenues. And it's basically a clever way at censorship. It's by demonetizing, blocking revenue. And the left has been doing this pretty consistently and strongly. Newsmax is fighting back on this front in the cable arena as well. So it's a multi-front attack that's been going on. And we're out to continue to strongly counter it.
Yeah, we got hit by the NewsGuard folks, you know, our little shop, and it really hurt. And we fought back, and it's just really kind of, it's sad that you have to exert that much time and effort into a group that clearly has an agenda. And now the reporting is they received some sort of a Pentagon grant, kind of shocking. The Pentagon would be behind any organization that was trying to shut down or stifle free speech and freedom of the press in this country. But that's sort of where we are. And thank God there are organizations like Newsmax that are out there at the forefront of the fight.
Well, we are going to continue this fight, and you know, the election season's coming up right now, and I think there's a clear effort to get Trump. You know, they're still this man is maybe the most persecuted president in the history of the United States. I don't think anyone has seen the legal, political, economic, and vicious attacks on him. And there's efforts right now in New York State to have him indicted. And I'm not sure they're going to go. It's a political kangaroo court. Obviously, a Manhattan jury is not going to be very sympathetic to Donald Trump. But, you know, there's clearly an effort to go after him. And I'm hoping that the public gets both sides of the information. You know, the late Bill Buckley used to say that the conservatives don't need one control of the media. We just need to have a balance.
That's it.
Because when the public hears both sides, 80% of the time they're going to go for the conservative side. But we need to get that information out. What we're seeing is that big tech especially has been restricting the amount of control that Facebook and Twitter and Google, especially Google, has over the public is just incredible. I don't believe that they should be immune from lawsuits under Section 230. I think they should be subject just like any other publisher. They certainly act like one.
Well said. All right, Chris, we're going to leave it there. Always appreciate you coming on and appreciate the great work Newsmax is doing. You make it to Memphis, the ribs are on me.
Yep, I'm looking forward to it. Download the Newsmax app on your smartphone and call 800-NEWSMAX to get our magazine.
All right, Chris. Absolutely. Chris Ruddy, ladies and gentlemen, the CEO of Newsmax. And again, folks, we got links to Newsmax and their app over on the live show blog. We got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. Toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. So you just heard Chris Ruddy from Newsmax talking about this organization called NewsGuard, and this is one of the media monitoring organizations, and they literally grade you, and this is they're in cahoots with Google and everybody else. So if they give you a failing grade, then your website is not eligible for ads. Your website is marginalized in search algorithms. It's pretty horrible. And we've actually had to work with these people at NewsGuard because I believe that our team here at ToddStearns.com is doing good journalism. And we follow all of the guidelines, fair and balanced. That's what we do. You may not like our coverage, but that's what we do. Everything is fair and balanced. If it's an opinion piece, it's clearly labeled an opinion piece. And we had to work with these people, and we're one of the few conservative sites that's actually green-lighted by NewsGuard. But it's like every week they're complaining about something. But now the word is coming out that NewsGuard has been funded by the Pentagon. And so you've got the federal government now cracking down on conservative news outlets. That's what we are dealing with here. And it is an ugly, ugly thing. And it is, I feel bad for a lot of conservative websites because they don't have the resources that we have, and they can't fight back. And that's a big problem. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. So there is an interesting story out of Memphis, and I try to share these stories with you because if it's happening in Memphis, it's happening in your town. And we got a big problem here, and multiple big problems, but one of them is the judicial system. And so you now have these activist judges, and we elect our judges here. So they have to run for office just like everybody else. So we have these activist judges, and these judges are out there, and they side with the criminals. So they're not out for justice. They're out to look after the criminals. And the mayor of Memphis, a guy by the name of Jim Strickland, just fired off a nasty letter because they're letting everybody out of jail. Everybody gets out of jail here in Memphis, Tennessee. I want to read this to you. The mayor is sending out a letter over the weekend. Last year, I did a public record request in Shelby County Criminal Court, 280 guilty verdicts involving only aggravated assault. Of those, 25% were granted probation, no prison time. Among the people that were given probation, no prison time, a guy who shot his roommate with a gun, a drive-by shooting, a guy who shot at a victim and her child, another guy who stabbed somebody, and a guy who shot somebody in the stomach. All of those people got probation. They never had to serve a single day of jail time. A more recent example, on July 14th, 2021, a man pulled a gun on a Memphis police officer. The police officer took cover behind a tree. The man fired three shots at the cop. Now, let me ask you this. Let me stop right here. Imagine what would have happened had the cop fired back. You would have had Al Sharpton down here faster than you could get a buffet at the KFC. But you got no national news coverage when the bad guys are shooting at the cops. So anyway, the guy fires three shots at the cop, misses the cop. The suspect was later arrested. Now, this was in July when that happened. He was later arrested in August and charged with attempted first-degree murder and other charges. On December 7th, 2022, a plea deal was reached. The officer opposed the plea deal, but the court approved it, and the punishment, get this, the punishment in Memphis for shooting at a cop, probation, no prison time. What do you say about that, America? This is what happens when you have activist judges. Let's go to Vicki, listening to us on KWAM in Memphis. Vicki, what say you?
Hey, Todd. I just had to call in because, all this crime thing. I have to say, I was really impressed with Jimmy Strickland that he actually, sorry, I knew him before he was mayor, that he actually put that letter out. I was very pleased. For him, that's a pretty big step. And I'm so frustrated. I've told my story, how I was almost... Someone almost stole my purse, and the only reason the kid didn't grab my purse is because I happened to have my pistol on me. And then, of course, my youngest son had his window knocked out at University of Memphis and his girlfriend, both of them, and she's a nursing student, and they took her laptop and all her paperwork and everything. And my son was lucky enough that he didn't have anything in his truck. I know multiple people around me that have had their cars broken into. I have someone else that was knocked down. They stole her purse. It just goes on and on. The list is just endless, and it's got to stop. I just was driving down Poplar Avenue. Now I'm out driving around because, I'm in real estate, and just about got run over by a black Dodge kind of car, probably, I don't know what kind, but he was trying to go 100 miles an hour around us, nearly ran us off the road. And it's just insane. It's absolutely insane.
And the problem is the same people that are committing the crimes, they go to jail, they get arrested, the cops do their jobs, and then they're right back out on the street, and the cops are like, what is the point of all of this? What is the point?
We had a lieutenant from the Memphis Police Department come out to our office in Forest Hill, and he spent 2 hours with us, and he said, we know who these people are. We know every one of them, and we know where they live. We know all about them. We know which gangs they're in, and there's nothing we can do. And he said the frustration with a police department is we're doing our job, and we can't, and they let them right back out the same
night. Vicki,
not even overnight.
I got to leave it there. We're running late for a break here, but I appreciate your call. Again, 844-747-8868. Are you tired of the crime, America? All right, people, welcome back. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're not standing in line waiting to take your money out of the bank. Just go home. Just chill for a little while. Let's see how this plays out. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Carol Roth joins us. She is the author of a new book coming out in July, You Will Own Nothing, Your War with the New Financial World Order and How to Fight Back. Carol, good to have you with us today.
Yes, a very uplifting book instead of topics that we're enduring here. Happy Monday to everyone.
It's the perfect stocking stuffer for the holidays.
That's right.
Carol, I really appreciate a lot of your comments yesterday. I saw that you were weighing in on social media about what's happening here. And give us a rundown of where we are right now. What should we be concerned about? What should we not be concerned about?
Well, that's a lot to answer in a very short period of time, but let me try to give you the most recent news. So the Fed and the Treasury came out and issued a joint statement yesterday that while Silicon Valley Bank had been closed and they have decided to close another bank, Signature Bank, which, fun fact, Dodd-Frank architect Barney Frank actually sits on the board of directors of, they were going to backstop depositors. I know a lot of people say this is a bank bailout. I want to be clear that they're not saying that they're going to make shareholders whole. They are showing management the door. But what they don't want to do is that businesses that put money in a bank that, you know, really was having a liquidity issue. They didn't make toxic loans. They didn't, you know, take, you know, crazy risky bets. The riskiest thing they did is lock their money up in treasury and mortgage-backed securities for 10 years. And they're just trying to plug a liquidity hole that they're not going to take down those depositors with them, and they're trying to keep some faith in the banking system. And the idea is if they hadn't done this, anybody who had money in a bank where they felt it was above the security limit, particularly small businesses and perhaps some of the larger businesses, would start getting very nervous, could be pulling that out and could create a bank run through the entire system. And certainly nobody wants that to happen. So they are trying to instill some confidence, whether Joe Biden coming out and telling us this and that other quote-unquote deposits are secure, even though there wasn't really a lot of explicit plans around that. Hopefully that calms things down. But certainly this is a situation that is rapidly unfolding, and you know, there may be some other contagion. The hope is that it's on the smaller nature.
Yeah, I was just checking Wall Street Journal. Their big headline, rout in bank stocks extends despite emergency measures. And I think just people are really concerned. But again, Carol, it's important to remind folks, $250,000, you know, anything below that is going to be covered. It's going to be insured. Is that right?
So you want to check with your bank to see if you have FDIC insurance. Most banks are, you know, up to that $250,000 limit. If you're with a credit union, the entity is the NCUA. So it's a good thing to give your bank a call and just make sure that you have your account structured properly and they're protected. But, you know, most of the time that's going to be the case, but not 100% of the time. So you want to make sure you're with an institution that has that kind of coverage. It really is those deposits. You know, anybody who's a small business owner who might have more money for cash management and payroll, you know, one of the firms that was caught up in the Silicon Valley Bank situation was Etsy, that marketplace for artists and entrepreneurs. And so the potential contagion effect there was that they might not be able to pay their sellers, you know, because they're banking through Silicon Valley Bank. Now, again, that's been backstopped. But, you know, it's those kinds of things that, you know, if you're a small business owner, you may want to have a discussion with your financial institution on, you know, how you can perhaps move around and make better use of your cash management, just in case this promise to backstop depositors maybe isn't as comprehensive as it was communicated this morning.
And further down river from, you know, Silicon Valley, we base our show out of Memphis, Tennessee, and there was at least one local business here. They were not able to pay their workers because their direct deposit was handled by a company that had its accounts with Silicon Valley. So we're probably going to see these kinds of things. I think Etsy put out a statement earlier today saying that you know, their payments might be delayed as well.
Exactly. That's the contagion. When everybody was saying, well, why are you bailing out, you know, Silicon Valley? I just suggest that people replace the name Silicon Valley and pretend that it was Small Business Bank of Iowa. If that were the case, how would you feel? You know, would you want depositors to bear this risk? And as you said, there is this kind of downstream effect, you know, throughout the economy, because other businesses rely on these banks, and then they can't pay their payrolls, or they provide services, and then those companies that are their customers can't pay their payrolls, and we don't want that to happen. So that should, with this announcement, be backstopped, and hopefully the payroll company is, you know, now back in business with access to its funds and Etsy and the like. But those are the kinds of things that we don't want to see happen here. And that was what the statement by the Fed and Treasury, reiterated by President Biden this morning, was meant to do, is to restore some confidence. But we'll see how that message is, you know, received over the coming days, weeks, and months.
All right, folks, write down this website, carolroth.com. That's carolroth.com. And Carol, I know we talk a lot about being sure that you have a diverse portfolio, and Legacy Precious Metals is a sponsor of this program, and they sell gold and silver, which I'm a big proponent of. And again, it's really not having all of your eggs in one basket. And I know you've got an exciting event coming up this evening on Twitter for what you call gold virgins.
Yes, and just for full disclosure, I work with a different gold company, but the important thing is that we want to educate people on having part of their portfolio hedged in a form factor that they can control. And so one of the things that people were asking me on Twitter was, you know, what do I do? Like, I don't even know how to get started. And I think there's a lot of fear and uncertainty, not necessarily around doing it, because I think people are seeing the importance of it, but just even how to do it. So I'm having a Twitter Spaces at 8 p.m. Eastern tonight. My handle is Carol J.S. Roth, so you can see the little reminder to get into the spaces there. But it is for gold virgins, people you know, who've never bought precious metals before, and we expect people who are, you know, active in that to weigh in with their experience. So everybody is welcome to come listen and participate. And, you know, I think it's really important as we move into a new stage in the financial world order. It's just, you know, part of the cycle of how things happen with financial empires. It happened with the British financial empire. It happened with the Dutch financial empire. It's going to happen with us. Things are going to shift. You're going to want to have control over, you know, some of your wealth in hard assets, you know, whether that's precious metals, whether that's owning a home and some land and whatnot. So, you know, these types of things are going to become more and more important. And I think this the last couple of days really shows you, you know, why you need to take action now and not wait. You don't want to buy the insurance on your house after it's burnt down.
Fair, that's a fair point. And also, if you're gonna go to a new bank, just make sure Barney Frank is not on the board of directors. Just want to throw that out there.
All of that great regulation that he crafted and then, you know, oversaw a bank and it failed.
Oh, Lord help us. All right. Carol, great intel. And folks, go check out that exciting Twitter Spaces tonight. That's going to be a great conversation. And again, you can access all of that at carolroth.com. Carol, always good hearing from you. Thanks for coming on the show today.
All right, great to be with you, and we'll see you back on Twitter.
All right, Carol Roth, everybody. She was doing a Q&A with Glenn Beck, and I thought, this makes so much sense. Got to get her on the show today, and I'm glad she was able to carve out a few minutes for us. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, I want to give you guys some advice. And I do this as a matter of public service. So I know some of you like to crack jokes, and they're pretty funny jokes, but you got to be careful who you're going to be joking around with, right? So I just want, if you want to make fun of straight people, that's fair game. And I think the average straight person, by and large, is going to love a good joke, right? Even at their expense, they're funny. And so I think you're on safe ground there. Never, ever, ever make fun of a gay person. Never, ever, ever tell a gay-centric joke. Ever. They don't have a sense of humor. Hate to break it to you, but I just want to help keep you out of trouble. All right. So if you want to go after the straight folks, straight guys, have at it. Have fun. As a matter of fact, they actually have TV shows dedicated to making fun of straight guys, right? Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. That the whole point of that show is that straight guys don't know how to cook, they don't know how to treat a woman, they don't know how to dress, they have bad hair, bad hygiene, and the only people that can save them is the gay guy, right? That's the whole point of that TV show. That's why there is not a Straight Eye for the Queer Guy show. There's just not. I'm just telling you. That's the reason why, because it'd be too offensive. So I say that because Mike Pence, the former vice president of these great United States, was a guest at the annual Gridiron Club dinner. And this is an annual event. They don't televise it. They don't broadcast it because it's pretty much the media and politicians making fun of themselves. They're basically roasting each other. So Mike Pence told a joke at the Gridiron Dinner, and I'm going to share this joke with you. He has been denounced by just about every Democrat in America because of the joke that he told at the Gridiron Club dinner, which, by the way, it's a roast. You're supposed to be out there. I was going to say raunchy, but it's really not a raunchy joke. But he has been condemned by everybody. You want to hear the joke? I got to tell you, it's a pretty funny joke. So here we go. Mike Pence was talking about Pete Buttigieg. And I'm telling you, it's bad. It's bad. You just can't make you can't tell these kinds of jokes. So Pence was talking about travel problems that were plaguing Americans, and he mentioned that Buttigieg took maternity leave after he and his husband adopted newborn twins. It's true that, but he did. But that's not the joke. Here's the joke. Pete is the only person in human history to have a child, and everyone else gets postpartum depression. I think that's funny. Josh and Dylan are laughing. That was a pretty good joke, right? Holy crap. It has hit the fan. So KJP, she is a lesbian. First and foremost, beyond being an American citizen, she is a lesbian. And she is not happy. She released a statement to the Washington Blade, which is a gay publication. The former vice president's homophobic joke about Secretary Buttigieg was offensive and inappropriate. All the more so because he treated women suffering from postpartum depression as a punchline. Wait, what? He should apologize to women and LGBTQ people who are entitled to be treated with dignity and respect. It was a joke. Darling, it was a joke. Oh, by the way, somebody got it. One of the leftist publications got very upset with me. That Todd Starnes, he's a woman hater. He called women broads. No, I called leftist wackadoodle women broads. The conservative women are beautiful, educated, wholesome women who should be treated like queens. Anyway, people are very upset about all this. So it was interesting because Pence also, and this was just odd, because this is not a serious event at all. I mean, it's just all jokes and songs and dances and gags, the whole nine yards. Anyway, Pence weighed in on Donald Trump during this comedy bit. And he goes off on Trump and literally calls out and rebukes President Trump, saying that January the 6th was a disgrace and history will hold Donald Trump accountable for what happened. Pence goes on to say, President Trump was wrong. I had no right to overturn the election, and his reckless words endangered my family and everyone at the Capitol that day, and I know history will hold Donald Trump accountable. All right, so let's do the math here. It is March of 2023. The riot at the Capitol happened on January the 6th, 2021. So what took him so long? What took Pence so long to call out Donald Trump? Now, it's one thing if this was all about politics, but it's not about politics because Mike Pence clearly states that Donald Trump put his family in jeopardy. Now, I like Mike Pence, really do. I think he is a good and decent person. I don't think the joke was homophobic. And, you know, I even think that he would probably make a pretty okay president, right up there with George H.W. Bush. I think he would. Do I think he should be president? No, I don't. And the reason why is because Mike Pence has a problem standing up and doing the right thing in the face of adversity. And I go back to his time as governor when he signed off on those religious freedom bills and then rescinded those bills after he came under fire from the radical sex and gender crowd. So if, in fact, Mike Pence's family was in grave danger, I don't care who Donald Trump was. And again, this is just from Mike Pence's perspective here. I would have called out Donald Trump that day and every single day afterwards. But what Pence is doing here is playing to the crowd. I don't think Pence really means this, but maybe he does. I don't know. But it just seems to me that if you were Mike Pence and your family was literally under attack and you feared for their lives, you would spend every waking moment, and especially if you blame Donald Trump, you would spend every waking moment telling everyone who would listen about that. But that's not what Mike Pence did. I'll tell you what Mike Pence did. Just a few weeks before the riots, Mike Pence was standing before conservatives and vowing to fight until the bitter end. So Mike Pence was the one sending mixed messages here. But again, we've invited Mike Pence back on the show, and I will tell you this. It's going to be hard because a lot of people, because we have had President Trump on our program multiple times, they don't want to come on this show. We're always going to treat people with a fair and balanced conversation. But there are people like Pence that will not come on this program because we support Donald Trump. And that's just, I want you to know that. The same thing with DeSantis. By the way, we reached out to DeSantis again. I think they told us check back again next year. Yeah, we're not going to do that. So you know what? If he's going to disrespect our audience, yeah, we're not interested. All right, we gotta get out of here. We will continue this conversation tomorrow. Folks, get out there. Have a great day. Be good, America.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.